At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Aurora from Elo, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pearson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got a great podcast for you. Going to be keeping it to two parts here because we're going to be just pretty much recapping the big news that we've been seeing over the last 48 hours with one of our good friends, Rocco Miller. He does a great job over there at Racketeer.org. We did wind up seeing a big time injury in terms of Dariq Whitehead. He is a top five recruit and is heading to Duke. He wound up undergoing some surgery on his foot. So we're going to try to get a little bit of a diagnosis with him. We should know a little bit more about the timetable for Whitehead within the next 24 to 48 hours. As I wound up recording that interview right around, I would say, about 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, and I wound up coming across by Newswire about an hour or so beforehand. So this is a little bit raw here, but with that said, talk about what that winds up meaning for Duke, a team that is certainly passing the torch in terms of no longer having Coach K at the helm, and why it might not be so bad if Duke winds up dropping a few games out of conference, because the ACC as a whole has a little bit more depth than that. We've just been seeing a lot of transfer portal news the last few days with Demaria Franklin on Monday, the top scorer from UIC going to Memphis. Could we wind up seeing a case in which Demaria Franklin is not going to be eligible this season, and it winds up being a lose-lose for both Memphis and UIC? And with Memphis, it was a direct reaction to the fact that they wound up losing Emmanuel Acott. So we're going to be talking about the Wild Wild West in terms of what we're seeing out of these guys that are moving by the transfer portal, and how some of these guys are moving might be set a little bit behind the eight ball as well. So a nice wide-ranging chat with our good friend Rocco in the second segment, and this is a podcast that is for you guys, trying to get you guys set for the upcoming season. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_41. Keep in mind, letters EM. They mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today. We plan on doing conference previews a little bit more towards the weekends, because now with the Greg Peterson experience being from 9 p.m. Pacific time to midnight Pacific time, that means that it's a little bit more difficult, because those conference preview podcasts, they do wind up being a little bit longer. So when my show is on the weekends, I was putting them more on the weekdays. So expect a little bit of a flipperoni there, but the Southland is on tap for me within the next few days. The SoCon as well. Before the, I would say, middle of September, I'm going to try to get Mo Carter back, because he is like the master of the SWAC. He knows the conference unlike anyone else, so I'm going to need to get him aboard as well. So that's sort of what's all on tap for me. And once again, if there's something else that you want to hear on this podcast, because I'm doing everything I can to get you guys set for what is going to be an amazing college basketball season, send that in via the Twitter timeline or an Apple Podcast review. But coming up next, we're going to be diving into it with Rocco, taking a look at everything in terms of Duke with the Dariq Whitehead injury, and then taking a look at transfer portal madness and the big giant web that has developed with that. That is up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops, and now part of the VSiN family podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We're back here in MLB Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family, a podcast. It is always great to be joined by this guest, as Rocco Miller, he does an absolutely amazing job over there with his website, bradcatier.org, taking a look at all things college basketball, helps out with scheduling in terms of a lot of these non-conference games that we wind up seeing as well. When it comes to the college basketball season, does a great job just taking a look at what we can expect in terms of the field of 68, and is one of the best minds out there in college basketball and just a really helpful resource in general. If you're curious as to what a specific team is going to be doing in terms of their non-conference schedule, and to be able to follow Rocco Miller on Twitter, easy enough. Add his name, Rocco Miller, and then the number 8 at the back half of that. And Rocco, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be back on with you, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And well, I'm doing a little bit better than our good friend, Derek Whitehead. Very unfortunate news on Tuesday, because it appears as though you wound up having a little bit of off-season surgery. So that might wind up halting his start to the season. We have not necessarily gotten the full specifics as to what wound up happening. It looks like there was a little bit of a foot fracture. Not sure if you have much to add about this, but certainly not necessarily ideal for a Duke team that they're going to be very freshman heavy. And Whitehead was one of the top 5 recruits in all of college basketball, and no doubt was going to be a big part of this Duke team. Still will be, but his usage towards the beginning of the season, I think, is now in question.
Definitely in question. I mean, it's a fracture in his foot, and those can have varying results, but you never want to hear that F word, fracture, in any variety. So really difficult to say. The news is brand new here this afternoon, but in general, I would just say that, you know, Duke should be prepared to start the season without him. I think the reports were saying there's a chance he can work his way back in, but you don't know if you're going to get 100% from Whitehead coming off a surgery like that. And in general, you want to take your time on an injury like that. You know, I'm no doctor, but we've been following college basketball for decades, Greg, and there's just such a history in bringing guys back too quick because you need to fill the void. I think Duke has the luxury, especially with some of the scheduling, just play their first couple of weeks with another rotation, with working him in gingerly. I know the big event for them will be out in Portland when they play in the Phil Knight. That's going to be closer to Thanksgiving. At the end of the day, even that event compared to their whole season is pretty minuscule. So I do think, you know, Duke's going to have to take this from a macro approach versus a micro game by game approach. But if they do that, manage it well, get them right for conference play, I think that should be their goal.
I do agree with you there. And obviously for Duke, we wound up seeing their rival in North Carolina. They were a team that they got off to a little bit of a rough season. They wound up going through some growing pains and, well, they wound up making it all the way to the national title game. So obviously these games in November, December, they're going to want to have them to be able to build up seeding, to be able to build up a resume, but they will be just fine, especially with the ACC in general being a little bit more loaded this year as well, because I do think that you bring up a good point with Duke. They're going to have a little bit more forgiveness this year if they do wind up having a few losses out of conference, if Whitehead does wind up missing some action but winds up returning for ACC play, because last season there were, we're going to call it what it is, some dregs out there, like Boston College was not a good team. Pittsburgh, they were not necessarily too terrific. I mentioned those two teams because, I mean, for this season, I think that would be a little bit far-fetched to call them teams that should be making the NCAA tournament, but no question, they are so much better. Louisville is a program that they're probably going to be going through their growing pains as well, but I take a look at the entirety of the ACC, and I think that it's a little bit more of a well-rounded conference, so I actually think that that is a little bit more incentive for Duke to maybe wind up easing Whitehead back into things a little bit more, because when it comes to the meat of their schedule, the ACC just top to bottom, it is a little bit more loaded, which means that if they do wind up having a little bit more of a clunker out of conference, it's going to knock them a little bit less.
I would agree with that. I mean, the ACC had a bad rap most of last season throughout the year, but they kind of got the last laugh with those tournament runs, you know, sending two teams to the Final Four, Miami to the Elite Eight. Notre Dame even knocked off Alabama in the tournament. So they did have an unbelievable NCAA performance. You know, there were teams like Wake Forest and others that really outperformed expectations that have a lot to build on coming into this year. Not to mention the schools you were talking about with Louisville and others that seemingly will bounce back. Boston College does have some better talent this year. Florida State's another one where they were just completely smeared with injuries last year. They should be back. You probably saw our buddies at the three-man weave have them as a top 25 team. So this will be a very good league. I haven't even talked about Virginia Tech who are both going to be very strong. So yeah, with all that said, Duke's goal, of course, one of their many goals will be to win the league. It's John Shire's first go around. You know, this kid, Whitehead's supposed to potentially be their lead scorer. He's certainly going to be one of their best players. But the worst thing you can do, especially you're only going to get 1 year with him unless something incredible happens and he comes back for a second year, is ruin his season and ruin your opportunity with him by rushing him back too fast. So I'm sure Duke will manage that very well. You know, no shortage of medical advice around that campus, and they'll just have to make do with some different rotations until he's ready.
Yep, I do agree with you there. I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how this Duke team, why is it coming together? Because there's a lot that's going on with Duke with a lot of moving parts. As joining me on the podcast, it is Rocco Miller, because no question, the passing of the torch to John Shire is one of the biggest storylines of this offseason. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Duke this season for the man that is not going to be there in Coach K. And I do think that it could wind up causing for overreactions if Duke winds up getting off to a little bit of a sluggish start. So I do think that it's an interesting ordeal to see what winds up happening there. And then another team that is going to be having a lot of eyeballs on them, that'd be Memphis, because we all remember Memphis last season. They were one of the biggest disappointments up until, we're going to call it, late January, and then they wound Browning into form, and now we have seen them just have a very wild offseason. They wound up bringing in Kendrick Davis. It looked like they were going to get Emmanuel Akop, but this has caused a big giant ripple effect, because Keontae Johnson was in the running to wind up going to either Western Kentucky or Kansas State. He goes to Kansas State, and then Western Kentucky lost out on him. They wind up poaching away from Memphis Emmanuel Akot. So now Memphis has pretty much responded by poaching away Demario Franklin from UIC, who we didn't think was going to be into the transfer portal until after Emmanuel Akot wanted to make his decision. It's been a very strange ordeal. I don't know if Memphis is going to be able to utilize Demario Franklin or not, because this is so late in the process that typically all these guys are eligible immediately, but this is very late August that we're talking about. It's very strange to see what's happening with Memphis. I still think that they're the number two team out there in the American, but this whole Demario Franklin transfer process, and really the web that I wound up laying out, is something unlike anything I've really ever seen in terms of the transfer portal this late in the offseason.
Yeah, the portal is an emerging topic of conversation. It's an evolving subject, right? You know, each year things get a little bit historic, if you will, like unprecedented is what I'm trying to say, because really the way to acquire players hasn't really changed, right? Like you look at when Penny was hired, he found ways to acquire the high school talent that he had connections to and that mainly he wanted, and landed for a couple of years straight either the number one class or a top five class. Focus for his program and for several other top programs has shifted to the portal. So the same resources and the same means in which it takes to acquire talent, we won't get into methods or anything, but is still in place. And so, you know, right now, a lot of the programs, the ones you mentioned, including Memphis, are focused on getting the top experienced players out of the portal. And if that means you have to convince a kid that's already on a roster that's got great numbers coming back, you know, like a DeMario Franklin here from UIC, to come to your school because you now have the spot for him and you have the means in which to make him interested, that's what a team like Memphis is going to do. That's just the day and age we're in right now. Until there's more parameters or anything else around it, that's just the way it's going to be. You know, there's a lot of different tiers within college basketball in terms of power. Western Kentucky has been able to find the appropriate resources to get themselves in position. Just a loaded team already coming back, even without Acott. They end up bringing in Acott, Sharp's back, the big 7'5" shot blocker supreme. There's word on the street behind the scenes that they're going to get Keith Williams eligible this year, who is going to be their leading scorer. So Western Kentucky is just really, you know, done the whole old school Stansberry method of getting players. They're just doing it through the portal now versus the recruiting basis. Same thing Memphis is doing for the most part. Alex Lomax has been there forever. He's back. You got Kendrick Davis. They got DeAndre Williams to come back. Keonti Kennedy comes over. And the Lawson Bros, you got a loaded Memphis deep team. And effectively what teams like Memphis and Western Kentucky are doing is stacking the deck, stacking their chips as deep as they can go, knowing it's a long season, knowing they don't know what the rotations are going to be like. And they're okay with maybe one of these two guys drifting away by December. But you want to start with as loaded of a deck as you can. And Greg, we saw this months ago with the SEC, with a bunch of the decisions made at places like Florida, Missouri, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Same exact philosophy. So this is the way coaches are going about it. And then unfortunately for schools like UIC, they're just kind of stuck having to deal with this and pull from lower levels than themselves.
Yeah, it certainly is a tough situation for UIC because DeMario Franklin was their top scorer. I believe that he was their top rebounder as well because he pulled in right around 7 boards to go along with his 18 points per game. Not necessarily the most efficient 18 points per game, but trying to replace 18 points and 7 rebounds in super late August / super early September, certainly not easy to do. And I just take a look at the whole ordeal for UIC, and you can't help but feel really bad for them because I know that I was talking to Kai McKeon, who he's going to be doing a terrific job with the College Basketball Almanac of the Field of 68, and I believe that he is actually the one that wound up talking to Luke Yaklich about a month or so ago. Plans were to have DeMario Franklin be a very big part of that UIC offense, and now I just wonder how they're going to be looking in year number one. That is a big one for them because they wind up stepping up from the Rising League to the Missouri Valley Conference, which I think we both agree that's a step up in competition. The Rising League is one in which they wind up struggling in themselves. Now they have to go up a level, and now they have to do so without their 18-point-per-game score getting poached away in super late August. So plans that were already in place pretty much need to be scrapped at this point.
It's a tough situation for them, I'm sure. Not only the pressure of moving up from the Horizon League, where they didn't particularly finish as high as they wanted in that league, to the Missouri Valley, but they're also, keep in mind, effectively replacing Loyola Chicago as Chicago's team in the Valley. And I think that adds to it because Loyola Chicago just had so much success the last few years. It propelled them to get the Atlantic 10 invite and gain so much national notoriety. They went from a school that basically had nobody at their games to basically having one of the toughest tickets in town for any kind of sport, let alone college basketball. And so Illinois-Chicago's opportunity right now heading into the Valley is massive. The blueprint's been laid out by their neighbors at Loyola Chicago. You know, quite frankly, coming into the year with Franklin in the fold, you have Tyler Stevenson, Trevante Anderson, Jace Carter, and some really nice sophomores coming back with Scobalge and Okani, not to mention Sean Williams and some other vets, plus a great freshman class that includes Scobalge's little brother. The Flames had a lot going for them heading into this year as a potential dark horse. You didn't have the dominant Loyola Chicago team coming back this year. You know, some people like Drake, others like Bradley, but this league's up for grabs this year, and UIC, who knows, could have played their way into the top of the league right away. But with this loss, they'll have to reshuffle the deck. I still think they'll have a decent team, but it's really hard to see them competing for like the top half of the league now, they could easily fall back into the 200s.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that this is just a really rough ordeal for UIC. You've got a feel for them as Rocco Miller is joining me on the podcast. And do you think that there might be something done with this situation that is going on? Because, I mean, we have just seen a big giant ripple effect as to what's been going on in general, because Memphis winds up getting a player poached away from them and Emmanuel Acott. And, I mean, while getting Damari Franklin is nice, I would say that it's still a little bit of a downgrade from Emmanuel Acott, a guy that's 6'8". It's able to shoot threes, was able to handle the ball over there at Boise State, a team that made the NCAA tournament. So that winds up hurting them a little bit. It winds up being a case which UIC is really the biggest loser in this spot. We shall see if they wind up being able to pick up someone, whether it be someone that is still looking for a home out there in the transfer portal, maybe some sort of like a D2 player, you're able to go down the list. But no doubt they're in a very big shortage of options, and they just don't have the pull that a team like a Memphis, like a Kansas State, you're able to go down the list, is going to wind up having. But do you think that there might be something done to try to prevent this? And or do you think that there could be a case in which Damari Franklin is not eligible immediately, just because typically when it came to the transfer portal, we were hearing that that key deadline was going to be very late May, early June for these guys to be eligible immediately. And by and large, ever since COVID wound up hitting, all these guys have become eligible immediately. But this is one of the circumstances where I did think that we could wind up seeing an exception, since it's very late in the process.
It is very late in the process. You know, in his individual case, not exactly sure. A lot of times, if you're the bigger school pulling a kid from a smaller school to give him maybe a shot at the big time, the lower tiered school, UIC in this case, will help with that waiver process. That, you know, that's something I've learned here behind the scenes is, you know, they'll do everything for that kid to make sure he's not sitting. In this case, depending on how much communication there was, or if it was an ugly situation, we don't know if UIC is going to help with the waiver or not. I think that's what it comes down to. Of course, if UIC helps out, it's probably going to happen. But otherwise, it's kind of a mystery. My understanding is Franklin, I don't believe, has transferred before, so he could get through with the one-time transfer. By and large, either way, you know, what's going to happen, I think, in the future, and you've already seen this introduced, you see a lot of administrators and ADs starting to talk about it more and more, is I think we will get to a point where there is a transfer window and you can only transfer during certain periods of times. Perhaps that's the 60 days right after the season ends, and then maybe another window. You certainly can't have a window during the season, and I think it's too late to have a second window this late in the summer. If they're going to do, they might only end up with one window, or maybe we get one in very early spring and one in early summer, and that's it. But they got to figure that out, because what ends up happening is a multitude of issues with the way it is right now. You've got so much preparation that goes on now. It's a year-round sport, just like all college sports are, in terms of how you work out, all the different things you run during summer. I've been able to travel the country this summer and go to a handful of different teams' practices. So they're installing a lot of different offensive and defensive principles. And so if you have a key player like this leave, or somebody you've been counting on, or maybe even multiple people, it changes all that work that you've put in. You basically have to kind of start fresh in a lot of ways. Not only that, but like, I'm a specialist in the scheduling side of things. The scheduling side is such a poker game, because, you know, teams may have scheduled a Memphis or a Western Kentucky a couple months ago, not knowing that they're about to play all of a sudden a top 30 or a top 50 team. You know, maybe with Memphis they did, but you get my point. All these coaches kind of hold tight on scheduling because they want to know exactly what they're facing. And this just throws an extra curveball at that process as well. So again, it's just not going to be something sustainable for the long term. Now, the portal's still new, so there's teams like this that can pull a little fast one and take advantage, but I don't think that's going to be our long-term future with it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think that this is necessarily, I mean, in anyone's best interest, because now with Damari Franklin, Emmanuel Acott, both of these guys are trying to pick up systems very, very quickly. And in the case of Damari Franklin, this is actually going to be transfer number two for him, because he started out at Tennessee Tech. He went to UIC last season, and now he's going to be going to Memphis. So that is going to throw a big giant monkey wrench in this as well. And if he winds transferring away from UIC, where he's going to be a guy that is going to be featured quite heavily, and he doesn't wind up playing at all this year for Memphis, that's probably a net loss for him as well. So there is a lot that is going on in terms of this. And Rocco, that's just what we're right now facing in college basketball. It's a little bit of a new day and a new age. There are certainly some difficulties, but I think that we both appreciate that now college basketball is a little bit more 12 months out of the year. I wouldn't be able to do this podcast every single day. I mean, even as little as like 4 or 5 years ago, because there's just a shortage of news. Now in late August, we're able to talk about Damari Franklin, wind up going to Memphis. We're able to talk about someone like a Keontae Johnson, what he's able to bring to the table for Kansas State, on and on down the list. And I think that we both appreciate that. We both love college basketball, and I know that you are doing a ton to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. I know that you're doing a ton to be able to help out with these non-conference games as well. So love to get people at home, know what's all on tap for you, and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
I appreciate that, Greg. Yeah, we probably love it too much, but I don't know if there is such a thing for us because we just keep going. We really know one speed, baby. So yeah, I appreciate that. So you can follow me at RoccoMiller8 at Twitter, as Greg mentioned earlier in the show. My website's bracketeer.org. You know, the 22-23 schedules are continuing to roll out officially. I think today we hit like 170 out of 360 that are officially done. I think the rest will come out really quickly because almost any team left has a game or two tops left to go. So what I've been really focusing on behind the scenes is we're working on what we call MTEs, but preseason tournaments for 23-24. Starting with those big events, what teams are going where. You'd be surprised, but there's actually only 7 Power 6 teams left that do not have an event for next year, so they're filling up fast. And then from there, we're going to be working with the next tier of conferences to get them into good events. And the reason I'm involved with scheduling, with helping teams that are going to be in the at-large picture, like from the A-10, like from the Mountain West, from the WCC, et cetera, non-power teams, have as many opportunities to play their way in the tournament. So already focused on that for the following season, 23-24. On our website, bracketeer.org, we're slowly rolling out every conference's schedule page so you can see what's ahead for 22-23 in one place. Should be nice and organized for you. All the Power 6 leagues are already on the website. We will be rolling out the Mountain West probably by tomorrow and then more on the way quickly. And outside of that, preseason previews are starting as early as next week. They've already been being worked on for several weeks. So excited for the public to start seeing that stuff. And also just been helping out the guys doing the almanac behind the scenes. You know, I don't need my name on there, but it's been fun to kind of take a look at their opinions and, you know, make that thing as good as we can.
Yep. This is a man that never, ever sleeps. He does a lot of work, and you just heard it. A lot of the work for 2022-23 is already done. So let's just take a look forward to 2023-24. It's just like so many of the gentlemen that they do such great work in terms of recruiting, looking at what's next. Rocco does that for a little bit more of a scheduling standpoint, does so much work for the college basketball community. And I mentioned that college basketball almanac. Rocco has been able to help those guys out in terms of their scheduling as well, because whatever you wind up picking up, a lot of those college basketball preview guides, they've always got the schedule for every single one of those teams. Well, it's hard to come up with a lot of these schedules in late August, early September, and Rocco is a man that is a go-to for that and so much more. One of the best resources in college basketball, and one of the best and most friendly gentlemen in the world of college basketball as well. Always great to get him aboard. Big thanks to Rocco Miller for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. If you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to further this in. First one is my Twitter timeline, @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe it does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Like I said, we're going to have more conference previews on tap within the next few days. My off days are now Fridays and Saturdays, so plan on it a little bit more towards those days for me putting out some conference previews. And like I said, do not be shy on the questions. Looking to get you guys set for this upcoming college basketball season, which is going to be an amazing one. And I'll be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. And then when it comes to the offseason, news and notes of college basketball, much like today, along conference previews. So I'll try to do once we get them out.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.